Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, we have watched a few lifelong dreams coming true on our TV screens over the last few weeks, as Aussies Tora Bright, Lydia Lucilla, Dale Begg-Smith won gold and silver medals for Australia in the Winter Olympics. There's also been some folks that have come home whose dreams weren't realised. Jeremy Rolleston was one of those people. You may have seen him in that much-televised bobsleigh crash that dashed his dreams of Olympic gold. Jeremy has done more than enough interviews dissecting what happened on that day, so I'm so happy that he's agreed to come on Open House tonight and talk about just how a high-level sports person copes with disappointment of that magnitude. Jeremy Rolleston, welcome back home and welcome to Open House.
Yeah, thank you, Sheridan.
I really appreciate your time. You know, this wasn't your first Olympics, was it? I mean, you've been here before.
Yes, I have. I suppose the first one was like a dream and the second one like a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, you rose to a top 15 in the world.
Yeah, it's been a lot of years of bobsleigh and lots of highs and lots of lows. And yeah, I was definitely sort of on track and hoping for a top 15 finish if everything had gone as I'd hoped.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the accident, then we can move on from it. So here you were in the two-man bobsleigh event. You flip over on the fourth bend, and it really was just a series of freak incidents that caused it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I bear some responsibility for that because, you know, I didn't load properly, but at the end of the day, that sort of caused my foot to get caught in the steering and everything went awry from there with some of the elastic that holds the steering snapping and it falling down into the base of the sled, which meant that, in fact, for all of those four corners that I was going down the right way up, I wasn't actually steering. And that was probably, for me, the difficult thing because at no point was it, I suppose, in my control. It was just one of these freak things that that happened.
And help us understand, Jeremy. I mean, if you were able to get your foot back into that stirrup, whatever it actually is, can you, once you flipped over, can you actually right yourself? Is it possible?
It is possible. It's never happened to me, but with the right confluence of corners and pressures, the sled can actually flip back up, and there's a few funny stories to that end.
You left us on a ledge there.
Well, you can imagine the team that's crashed and suddenly they're upright and, you know, the pilot's still hanging on, you know, doesn't even realise he's flipped back up and the brakeman's tapping him on the head, mate, steer now, please.
I would imagine, you know, as we were watching the footage of the two of you just hurtling down there on the side and then on your heads and, mate, I guess we were all just kind of going, are they going to come out of this in one piece? I mean, it is a dangerous sport. I mean, this is a treacherous track, and you are going mighty fast, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if there's one positive to come out of this for the sport in a funny sort of way, perhaps people now better appreciate how dangerous it is and that the sleds don't go down just by themselves, because in the Olympics you only have the top 30 people in the world, so to the naked eye it appears relatively easy, like many things, but on this track, which is a difficult track, people could now better appreciate that there's a lot of things happening in the steering that they may not see.
Yeah, absolutely. When one journalist asked you if you had any injuries, you pointed to your heart and you said just here, including the heartache, obviously. Just how deep was that heartache, and is that heartache still?
Oh, look, I suppose I'm good at putting on a good face, but if you scratch the surface, I'm still pretty devastated and bewildered. I think for me, the difficult things are, and for any athlete, if you've trained 4 years for an event, and the Olympic Games is obviously a once-in-a four-year event, you know, for something like that to happen, however it happens, is obviously very disappointing. For me, I was in really good shape, the best shape of my life, and I was driving the track very well in training. So between those two things and the fact that at no stage before during my career had some of these things happened, to put all of that together was obviously just devastating.
Yeah. How much is actually invested in you getting there physically, emotionally, financially?
Yeah, I mean, you described it very well. I mean, if you think physically, you're obviously training 6 days a week. if you think emotionally. For me, I had to make a choice between, you know, a good job in investment banking or following my dream to get to another Olympics. So effectively, it wasn't just the income that or the cost of paying for sleds and seasons away, which, you know, for me was a lot of money, at least, you know, without giving dollars away. It was a house deposit. It's also the opportunity cost that I left a job. So that's the financial side, as well as the emotional side. But I think, like anyone wanting to do anything at that sort of level, regardless if it's sport, it's everything around the passion and the energy and the intent to actually do that. And that's what's obviously the thing that that tugs hardest at your heart.
Yeah. Jeremy Ralston is with us, just returned from the Winter Olympics. We're talking about what really has been a disappointing experience for him with that very much publicised, and I guess the vision's been rolled time and time again, of that crash for the two-man bobsleigh. Jeremy, you're well known for having a strong Christian faith, and as I mentioned, that may well be your source of hope. It may also be your source of questions, because to some degree, I guess you're probably saying, after all these years of training and after all this work and after all the prayers, I'm sure, then to just have a series of freak incidents like you did on the two-man bobsleigh event there that led to you crashing out. I mean, I guess it's raising questions for you as well.
Yeah, I think, in some ways, things like this raise as many questions as you do get answers. I suppose as a sportsman, you look at it through the eyes of these things happen. For me, if I was determined to go on for another Olympics, I think these are the things that would fuel you to have an even better performance. For me, I'll probably retire. I was planning to retire after these Olympics, but I will retire after the next World Championship, so that that isn't the last thing that, that I'm doing in my sliding career. But yeah, I mean, I suppose in many ways it does sometimes raise as many questions of why God. But I think that's probably the challenge of being a Christian and faith, isn't it?
Very much so, for anybody. And it might be an illness, it might be a sickness, it might be a loss of a job, it might be a whole range of things. There is often those questions. God, what are you doing? After all this, we've been praying so much.
Absolutely. And you know, I suppose in some ways people might sit back and it's easy to say it's just sport, as opposed to, you know, someone that's lost a child or another tragedy. But from, you know, from the inside, you've obviously put your life on hold, and there's everything that goes into competing at that sort of level. So in many cases, you do ask exactly the same questions.
Yes. So how does a sportsman of your calibre, when you've actually gotten that far up the ladder, so to speak, I mean, how do you then psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, well, yeah, maybe even financially, actually recover from a loss?
Well, psychologically, I think, funnily enough, is maybe the easiest part, because as an elite athlete, you, I suppose, you go to the zone where these things happen. You just wipe that from your thinking. It was one of those freak things, and it fuels you onto bigger and better things. Emotionally, it's a lot harder, I suppose. For me, you know, I'm really trying to just stand on the promise of God that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And, you know, I certainly will always be disappointed, and it doesn't give me the answers that I need. But I think for me, that's been probably the challenge, that I don't understand it, and perhaps I never will. But, you know, am I prepared to stand on the promise of God, and do I believe his word to be true?
Yeah. You know, you can over-spiritualize these things, but at the same time, I just look at the one that Christians follow, and he failed in the eyes of the world. You know, he was beaten, he was stripped naked, he was nailed to a cross. It looked like, to all intents and purposes, he had completely failed. The victory came afterwards. The victory came afterwards. And that's the kind of great, amazing hope of the Christian faith, is that in kind of the world's eyes, when everything looks like it's failed, I mean, the victory comes, you know, 3 days later. There's a time where it seems that God brings those amazing things out of those difficult experiences. And of course, ours aren't anywhere near the magnitude of what Jesus went through on the cross. But you know what I mean? That there's a symbol of the whole Christian life there, that God often is continually bringing good things out of horrific circumstances. And indeed, hey, even sporting failure.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. And I suppose the challenge is perspective, isn't it? Even when you don't understand what's going on. I mean, we were lucky enough to have some great chaplains that volunteer their time and come to the Olympic Village. So we were able to have Bible study a number of nights. And, you know, there were people in the Bible study that won, I think, silver and bronze medals, you know, that day or the next day. So it's definitely the tale of two cities like that. But I suppose for me, in some ways, you know, maybe my journey is more real to people if I'd come home with a gold medal, hypothetically. Sometimes that's harder for people to grasp than the Christian that's walking through a difficult situation and trusting God's promises. And that's a very real thing that people can hopefully be inspired by.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, I just, as my wife and I were watching the footage, I couldn't help but think, man, the whole of Australia is behind you at this moment. there was a certain sense of, oh mate, you know, that could have happened to any of the sports people. Of course, it's cold comfort for you, I guess, but I think there's certainly a whole nation that's going, oh man. I don't think there's a whole bunch of people that are saying, oh, you let us down. I think there's a whole bunch of people saying, oh man, how close.
Yeah, look, the support of everybody around Australia and the other athletes has been phenomenal, and that definitely softens the blow. It's just been, you know, very special like that. You know, I suppose the publicity that's come with that is...
Well, that's the ironic thing, is that you probably wouldn't have gotten anywhere near the publicity if you'd come home with gold.
I know. A Channel 9 guy said that to me. I said, you know what? I really don't need the publicity.
Yeah.
I prefer to perform like I wanted to.
Of course. Of course. Of course. So what next, Jeremy? I mean, you were saying before that initially the idea was that you'd retire after these Winter Olympics, but you're going to keep on going now to the next championships.
Yeah, I think I will, and one of my teammates and I would like to do that, but I think we'll go with a slightly different attitude. For us in our sport, the cost of getting access to good equipment where equipment makes a difference, and the cost of doing full seasons for me as a pilot is very difficult. So to be competing and driving as well as guys who are on the ice for, you know, from the start of October for 5 months all the way through is difficult, because you just literally have to be overseas for that long. So to go to World Championships with a slightly different approach, not as seriously, but still, you know, competing well, I think is probably what's in mind at the moment.
Okay, and then after that, what do you think you might do?
Oh, after that, who knows what the Lord has in store, but probably back to normal life, back to work in the next few weeks, and just enjoying Sydney and the warmth, I think.
Yes, I bet. Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
No problem, Sharon. Yeah. Thanks very much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.